I don't know if you're like me. I assume you probably are. But whenever you receive correspondence, could be email, letter, or whatever it is, you try to read between the lines, don't you? You do that? You try to kind of get the idea of what was this person really feeling when they wrote these words? You know, I just think about the time when my wife and I were courting together, dating, and we'd spent a lot of time in writing, writing back and forth, and what a joy it was to receive a letter from Julia Asbrand. And, you know, cracking that open and looking at it, and you would look and see, did she say dear or beloved or sweet thing, you know? And how did they close? How did they close the letter? With regards, sincerely. No closing at all, you know, however it might be. So, we receive all kinds of letters, whatever they might be. And you look at them and a lot of times we pay close attention to what is written and you try to keep putting in your mind, what was the writer experiencing? Why did he write it that way? Why did he word it that way? Well, listen, dear ones, the book of Ephesians is a letter, okay? It is a letter that was written to a church, and it was probably passed along to many churches in the area of Asia, which is modern-day Turkey. It was a letter from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, a missionary that had traveled through their city, had spent significant time with them. And he was currently, at the time of his writing, in house arrest, in a prison. He was in a home where he was confined. He was not to go anywhere, but he was allowed to have people in and receive them and still was able to teach. It's a very interesting way of confinement that they had him in, but it was God's grace. He was there for about 2 years, I believe. But from there, he wrote several letters to the different churches around Asia that he had visited. In the letter, he communicates and he talks about some very important and powerful truths for believers. And we've been studying this letter ever since the beginning of 2013, and we finally now have come to the closing. Don't everybody applaud at once, but I don't apologize. I think it's been a very fruitful study for us, and we're going to look at the closing today and see how he brings to a close this powerful letter. So if you haven't turned there already, go to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, and let's enjoy together this closing as we see the Apostle Paul sharing his heart with the people of Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus. As you're turning, I want you to remember how he has his last big push in this letter, his last main instruction or teaching was the reality of the spiritual battle. We've talked about that. We've spent several weeks on that topic of the spiritual battle. It's real. It's not against flesh and blood. And we've talked about how the believer is told and instructed to stand strong. So that's the standpoint that we are to have in this life. We are to be standing strong. We are to be standing with a confidence in the power of the Lord's might. You're probably like me. You have different weaknesses and struggles in your life. That's a part of life, and we need to admit that, and we need to allow the Lord to carry us through and to be our strength in those struggles. So we're in a battle, and last week we looked at how we apply the truths of that battle and the spiritual armor that God gives us, and we do so through prayer. And we are to be praying for one another with prayer and supplication, communicating to God with specific requests, asking Him to grant them. And we are to be watching for one another, watching over the saints. This communicated to us that we're in this battle together. We're all to suit up in the armor, but we are an army. We're the Lord's army. Sounds kind of like a song, doesn't it, children? We're the Lord's army, and we're in this battle together. So he has brought all of that before us, and then he asked the people to specifically pray for him as he seeks to share the gospel. So now that brings us down to verse 21. You know what? I'm going to begin at verse 18 just for context's sake. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And thus it brings to a close the letter to the Ephesians. Now, there is something to be said for this man, Tychicus. You probably observed, as I did, that Tychicus is a man spoken of with fondness. He is a messenger of the Apostle Paul. Remembering now, the Apostle Paul is confined to a home, confined there because of his preaching the gospel. The Romans are keeping him there. So Tychicus is the one that is taking his letters and taking them to the different places where they are to go. Tychicus is also commonly considered Paul's scribe. Paul would have been dictating these letters to Tychicus, and Tychicus probably was the one that had the pen in his hand, and probably was the one that actually put these words onto paper as he listened and heard the Apostle Paul speaking them. Tychicus was a very dear brother to the Apostle Paul, as you can see in verse 21. He says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister. Now, before we go too far, I want to just talk to you about the value of having deep and close relationships in the faith. The Apostle Paul was a very confident man, a man of great renown in the known world. Now, of course, him being in prison, he was in prison because he declared the gospel, but he was a man well-traveled, well-versed in the scriptures. But he was a man that was subject to his God, and he knew the incredible grace and mercy of God. And as you look through his life and his journeys, you see that there are people that attach themselves to him, spend time with him, travel with him, assist and help him in the ministry. The Apostle Paul was specifically chosen by God on that road to Damascus. He was confronted by Jesus. He was saved, and he was given the mission to reach the Gentiles with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Jewish person of Jewish descent here today, then you would be considered a Gentile. And the Apostle Paul is to thank for the incredible ministry that has opened the eyes of God's truth to the Gentile world. Tychicus, he is known as a beloved brother. Do you have a beloved brother or sister in your life? What is that? Depending on how you answer that question, it could mean you might have some things to work on and ways of application here. The Christian life is not designed to be a life of loneliness, of operating by yourself, of trying to do things on your own. As we can learn from the Apostle Paul, he has surrounded himself with beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they were of great value and ministered in incredible ways to the Apostle Paul and on behalf of the Apostle Paul. What we can observe here is that Tychicus was not only a beloved brother, in other words, he was dear to the Apostle Paul, he was also a faithful minister. He could be trusted. Think about the ramifications of this. The Apostle Paul is confined to this prison. He has to send a representative out with the letter and the message. Tychicus, that messenger had to be trustworthy, had to be someone who Apostle Paul could say, "This is what the Lord has said. This is what I desire you to do, and how you desire to, I desire you to minister." And the Apostle Paul could have great confidence in this man. So what can we learn from this relationship? Well, first of all, do you have a beloved brother or sister in the Lord? Have you allowed yourself to be vulnerable enough to have deep, meaningful relationships in the Christian faith? Husbands and wives, I trust that you can consider your spouse a beloved brother or sister in the Lord. I trust that men, you might have a brother or two, maybe more, that you could consider a beloved brother. Same for you women. I'm so grateful for the people that God has put into my life, the deep friendships that I have been privileged to have. And it's very interesting how God seems to bring them along just at the right times, and how God has used them to build into my life character. How he has used them to sharpen me and to shape me into a man that's seeking to be more like Christ. I can think of some of the dear brothers in my life and some of the hard things they've told me. Some of the things that they've pointed out in my life and said, "You need to change that." I can think of how they have ministered in my life in times of difficulty and where I needed comfort. Do you have a beloved brother or sister in the Lord? Another question we could ask and learn from this text is on this idea of faithfulness, is that, are you considered faithful? Indeed, we are messengers ourselves, aren't we? We are God's messengers to this world. I'm a messenger as I seek to bring forth truth. We are messengers. Does God consider you to be faithful? A faithful minister. A faithful minister is one who does the task as instructed, with zeal and passion for the glory of God. Are you a faithful minister? Old or young alike, God calls upon you to be faithful. You know, we often look quickly over the ends of these letters, and so often, even as a preacher, when I come to the end of the letters, I often will wonder, boy, how can I put a message together from this? But you know, every word of the Lord, every word of God is important, and I believe that the mention of this man Tychicus is important. In fact, he is the only other name mentioned in this entire letter. And it's Tychicus. And Tychicus would have been walking up the road to Ephesus. He would have been carrying the message from the Apostle Paul. He would have been the one that sat down with the elders of that church and shared with them this letter. He would have been the one that visited them and brought the care and comfort of the apostle to the church. He was a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister. His mission His mission was to communicate the affairs of the Apostle Paul. Now, why is that significant? Why is that mentioned? Well, the people of Ephesus cared about the Apostle Paul. They had spent several years with him. He ministered in their city, in their church. And now, where was he? What was going on? Let's remember, there was no TV, there was not internet, nor Facebook email. How would they have found out? It was through messages. And so Tychicus brings a message to this church and allows them to be a part of the Apostle Paul's ministry. And this fits directly with what the Apostle Paul has just talked about in regards to the battle and praying for one another. Because what Tychicus is doing is he is opening the door that the church in Ephesus can be a part of the Apostle Paul's present ministry and situation. How? They now can go to battle on his behalf through prayer. And they now know his situation. Tychicus's mission was to communicate. And he was to communicate the affairs of the apostle. What he was doing, where he was. This comes to play in several areas in our ministry today. First of all, communication amongst the saints is something that's very important because it allows us to better care for one another and better pray for one another. Remember, do not allow yourself to curl up into a cocoon with your own issues and problems or joys and pleasures and not allow the church, the body of Christ, to be a part of that. I said this last week. I'll say it again. That's why in our Sunday school hour, in our evening service, on our prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, that's why we have a time of sharing. That's why the body is given a voice to share what's going on in our lives so that we might better care and pray for one another. It also comes to bear with missionaries. Why do we have a missionary moment? Why do we do that? It's because we want to communicate. We want to be faithful to communicate what's going on with the with what people are doing around the world. Why? I hope you listen and pay attention to those things and are a part of their ministry through praying for them. Why do we have missionaries come and give reports and share? It's because communication in the body of Christ is important. It needs to be a regular part of our existence, of our meeting together. He came, his mission was to communicate, but Tychicus also came to comfort. Look at verse 22, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Why would that be important? It's very possible that there could have been rumors flying around that the Apostle Paul, he's in prison. Now, what would that mean? What would that do to your heart if you heard that one of our missionaries was in prison, but that's all you knew? Would that not stir your heart and cause concern and yeah. Well, what kind of prison? Is he going to be executed? Why is he in prison? And you begin to question all of these things. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister, comes and he communicates how the Apostle Paul is doing and in turn ministers comfort to the church of God because he proclaims the truth about the situation, all that God is doing. Keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 6 and go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 just gives us a small glimpse into what the Apostle Paul's life might have been like. But Acts chapter 28, verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together And when they were come together, and he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against this people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of it. Verse 20, For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. He speaks often of a chain, so he must have had in some way a chain on him, holding him in some way. Verse 21, And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And then when they had appointed him a day, verse 23, there came many to him into his lodging. Notice there are people coming into where he is, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. This very well could have been part of Tychicus's message. Listen, Ephesians, he is in a house, he is bound in a chain, but he is proclaiming the truth. He's proclaiming. Verse 24, And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For verse 27, For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Verse 30, And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Very possible part would have been part of Tychicus's communication. That would minister some words of comfort as they find that he, yes, is indeed in prison, but he is in a situation where he has the freedom to receive guests and he is able to still proclaim the word, and people are not stopping that. Tychicus, he was a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister. His mission was to communicate and to comfort. So now Paul's final words, verse 23, Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. There's 3 words I want you to notice from this text. There's peace, there's love, and there's faith. These are common themes throughout the book of Ephesians. I want you to understand and realize that the peace brings to mind what his message was about how Jesus is our peace. And he brought Jesus at the cross brought together Jew and Gentile into one body called the church. And therefore, there is peace at the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, he says, peace to the brethren. And love with faith. Love in this amazing book is mentioned several times. One of the most powerful places you will see it is in chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And he is bringing back to mind to these believers what he has written about the very love of God, how they have been chosen in chapter 1, chosen by God in love. They have been experienced the adopted, the position of an adopted child in God's family. That's God's love. How God has taken them from being dead in their trespasses and sin to life, living in Christ. That's God's great love. Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is overwhelmed with God's love. And in verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. Faith is so significant to Christianity. We believe that there is a God by faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is our peace by faith. We believe in the incredible and great love of God shown on the cross of Jesus Christ by faith. Faith is that which applies and brings to reality God's peace and God's love in our lives. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them. Favor be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, in genuineness, in incorruption, in freedom from decay and death. So, believer, do you have a faithful, beloved brother in your life, beloved sister? Does God consider you to be a faithful minister on his behalf? Are you taking the truths that we're learning from the Word of God, and are you a faithful minister? When was the last time that you meditated on the incredible peace of God, the God of peace? Peace to the brother and love. How about God's great love? Have you allowed your mind to wander upon the greatness of his love? It's so vast. Apostle Paul said, what is the height and depth and breadth? And he was struggling for words to describe its vastness. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. Apostle Paul ends with that very clear reminder. Be genuine, believer. Walk and love in a situation, in a way that is free from death and decay. You can do that in Christ. In Christ. God, we have thoroughly enjoyed this letter to the Ephesians. It was certainly a letter that was written so that we might know you and know your truth. And I thank you for this time. And now, God, we're going to take some time to celebrate this Lord's Supper together. And God, I'm asking that, oh God, you bring to our remembrance your incredible love that was displayed at the cross of Calvary. I thank you, God, for this time that we can celebrate together. In Jesus' name, amen.